May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 871. Happy the man that bears the stroke of his chastising God, nor stubbornly rejects his yoke, nor faints beneath his rod. Hymn 871.
Thank you. read together from God's holy word two portions of scripture this evening. The first part of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 15 and read to the end of verse 23. Verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And now, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake, and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or a young hart, upon the mountains of Betha. May God bless to us those readings of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we would seek to draw near to thy throne of grace. We would seek, gracious God, to approach rightly and reverently and humbly before thee. And we do pray that golden sceptre might be stretched out this night, that we may touch the tip and find acceptance through thy beloved Son. We come this evening with many cares and concerns. Lord, we do pray that each that gather here may be sweetly enabled to cast all their cares upon thee, and that thou wilt prove that thou dost care for them, or that we may be drawn by faith to thy dear feet. Oh, that we may lay all at thy feet, and give us submission, and give us that childlike faith and understanding and belief that, that we may leave at thy feet all our needs and concerns, and wait patiently for thy appearing. Oh Lord, how we pray and long and desire for more faith to be given. Oh, that thou wilt take away our unbelief, that thou wilt, Lord, give us more faith in our hearts. Oh, that it may be in each heart, and in the hearts as we hear thy word, that may that faith lay hold of those promises contained in thy holy word, promises from an almighty God to poor, needy sinners. Oh, do, Holy Father, do send thy gracious Spirit, thy Holy Spirit, to work in each heart. It is all of grace. And Lord, we cannot come. We would not come. Oh Lord, we're so far off, so fallen, so dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh Lord, that we have no desires in our own hearts, in and of ourselves, to come to thee. Oh, we have unwilling minds O Lord, make us willing. In the day of thy power, may this be the day of thy power. Oh, and may we be found willing. O Lord, it is all of thy grace. And we do pray that thy grace may be bestowed upon each, that each of us may have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that thou wilt, Lord, gather in from the congregation into the church here thy dear people. Oh, give assurance, Lord, and oh, that love of Christ overflowing. Oh, that there may be one and another who are constrained, compelled to testify, oh, and to lay claim, and not to what they've done, but to thy finished work. And that love that passeth all understanding, and the Lord's work in their hearts, and may it be for each to know Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, our only hope, our only plea, that great day. Oh Lord, may we be found brought to thy feet while it is today. For we read that each will bow the knee before thee. Every soul will at that day bow before thee. But oh, may we be found prostrate before that day, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, may some precious drops of thy precious shed blood be sprinkled on our hearts. Oh, do touch our hearts with love divine. Oh, and may we know and see the effects. Lord, we do pray for each who gather here. Thou knowest the concerns, the cares. May the cares of this life, oh, be sweetly removed for an hour. May thoughts of last week, thoughts of next week, be graciously taken away, and may we be wholly taken up with thee. Lift us above inferior things. Remove Satan from us. Drive him out of this place. How he seeks to disrupt our minds. Oh, make our minds wander, our thoughts wander. But, oh Lord, do come right where we are. And, oh, do touch us. And lift us up. May our eyes be unto thee. May we be found looking unto Jesus. Oh, may we not be disappointed this night. Do be one in our midst. May there be those who have come, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, do grant us then thy gracious presence, and oh, may we see thee by faith. May we be sweetly led to Calvary. Oh, and there to see mercy streams in streams of blood. Oh, may we be brought sweetly there. May some for the first time be raised to a sweet hope that this was done for them. Oh, Lord, do grant us that great mercy and favour and blessing to come laden with sin to the foot of the cross, and there to find the burden rolled away. Oh, those heavy laden ones, may they be found coming to the Lord Jesus. Oh, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, do fulfil that word in each longing soul. Oh, we do pray that thou art then bless us each. And we think of this neighbourhood, where this course of truth is found. And dear Lord, may there be some in this neighbourhood who are numbered amongst thy people, thy dead elect. Oh, do bring them in. May this place be filled with praying, seeking, longing souls. We pray that, Lord, for each of thy causes of truth up and down this land and throughout the world, wherever thy name is faithfully proclaimed, wherever thy dear people meet together round thy word. O Lord, do revive thy work in the midst of the years. Turn us again. O Lord, we feel to be living in the last days. Oh, and we see such scenes of evil in our land. And day by day, things seem to be getting worse. We wonder where the scene will end. Oh, but thou art on the throne, and we thank thee that thou art the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And we do plead that thou art send thy Holy Spirit to work mightily in our hearts, in our churches, in our denomination, in our land, that there may be a turning unto thee, that thou raise up men in high places who know what Israel ought to do, that thou art set them in government and in high office in our land, and that thou art, Lord, put thy fear in the hearts of our rulers, and that thou, Lord, appear for thy people. Oh, we do pray that Satan's plans may be overturned. We pray that thou revive us, and there may be that breath of life, breathing life into dry and dead bones, and that thou, Lord, give zeal in each of the hearts of thy people, and may they have that right zeal toward thy house and thy name and thy word. May they be praying ones, oh, exercised, burdened in prayer, oh, for the desolations done in the land. Nehemiahs who sigh and cry. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant us mothers in Israel, praying for those themselves and for those around them. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt hear our prayers and have mercy upon us. We are poor and needy. Oh Lord, show us where we've grieved thee. Oh, thy Spirit, Lord, we would say that, oh, we've grieved thee. As a denomination, as churches. Oh Lord, show us where the controversy lies. Oh Lord, show us our errors, and may we be found confessing them. Oh, may we find mercy. Oh, do Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Oh Lord, we plead that thou wilt turn again and smile upon us. And may the winter be over. May the springtime come. In thy church here below, return to thy garden. Oh, may we see the planting, the right hand planting of the heavenly gardener. Do, Lord, come. Build up the wall of the garden. Oh, may the world be pushed out. May we be dragged back from the world. And may there be that wall built up. And Lord, have mercy upon us. Shine upon us. Oh Lord, give life, we pray. Bless us each, Lord. Thou knowest the unknown way that lies before each. We know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. But thou knowest all things. Do be with us then in the unknown way. May our circumstances, our lives be used, sanctified. May it work together for our real good. If needful, the rod, as we sung in our first hymn, but be not silent to us. May we know a father's love, a chastening, correcting. But oh, be not silent. Oh, be not silent to us. Do, Lord, spare us and have mercy. Oh, do then bless us each. Bless the deacons here, Lord, with all that falls upon them. Oh, do help them week by week. Bless thy church here. Oh, prosper them, we pray. Build them up in numbers and in grace. And feed them with the bread of life. And may they be led to the streams of living water. May the glorious gospel ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit. Be with our friend with us from the Netherlands. Do take him home in peace and safety towards the end of this week. And Lord, would you pray that thou be with us each in the journey of our lives. That as we journey on, may we be on that straight and narrow way. Oh, that leads to glory. May we be found coming up out of the wilderness of this life, leaning on our beloved. Oh, make us lean on thee. Make us love thee. Make us trust thee. Lord, pardon every sin. Pardon all that we've asked amiss. Blot out our sins as a thick cloud, our transgressions. Oh Lord, how they hang over us as a thick cloud, but may they all be blotted away. Do wash us free from every sin, and may we be found accepted in the Beloved. We pray for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Part of hymn number 507, we'll sing from verse 1 and then from verse 7 to the end. How oft I grumble and repine, with blessings in my hand. There's nothing here can satisfy, nor gold, nor house, nor land. Hymn 507, omitting verses 2 to 6.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2? With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the fourth verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the fourth verse. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the fourth verse. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. We read of that parable. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke concerning the kingdom of God. And he likened it to that man which made that great feast. And there the Lord sets forth the household of Israel first. He sets them forth as those who, one by one, though invited, bidden to the feast, they despised it. They rejected the invitation. And really, it fulfills that word, doesn't it? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came as a Messiah, first to the household of Israel, and how many rejected him? How many despised and rejected him? They each made an excuse, didn't they? He bid them to a supper. Not for breakfast, a supper. And they made such feeble excuses. I've bought a piece of land. I need to go and look at it. You know, friends, what excuses. And the third one didn't even make an excuse. Didn't even excuse himself, should I say. The other said, oh, have me excused, but not the third. I've married a wife and I cannot come. Oh, these excuses. And then we read then of the servant returning, and the master of the feast being angry and sending him forth to the highways, the lanes and the streets, and to bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, gathering in from the household of Israel those who are maimed, those who are sick, and those who are poor, and those who are blind, he graciously invites them. He won't have the feast unattended. His house will be filled. And then the servant returns and said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. This is where we come in, is it not? Us Gentiles. Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. What a mercy, beloved friends. There's room. And there the servant sent forth, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Oh, the glorious gospel invitation to the Gentiles, the strangers, the foreigners, oh, those in the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in. Oh, but beloved friends, you and I, You see, the day of our death will testify, won't it? Eternity will testify whether we are found amongst the guests, whether we are found in heaven at last. In Revelation we have, in chapter 19, the book of Revelation, we have set forth the marriage supper of the Lamb. As the Lord Jesus returns in all his glory, in all his majesty, and the judgment day is ushered in, and as the Lord separates the sheep from the goats, and as the sheep are taken into heaven, and the wicked are cast into hell, with Satan, a defeated foe, to be there forever and ever, oh, then there will be a great feast. Oh, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we have these words. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honour to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, dear friends, may you and I analyze, study, contemplate our little lives. Have you been brought, as we've just sung, can you go along with that middle hymn that we've just sung? You see, those will be brought to the banqueting house. Those will be brought to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, we sang of it, didn't we? That hymn. Oh, the workings in our hearts, the strivings between Satan and the work of grace in our hearts, the conflict, the turmoil it casts up. And, you know, at times and places in our lives, oh, we feel, will we ever reach heaven at last? Some even have had a great assurance of it, yet, oh, the longer they go on, the more sin that's churned up, that's shown forth, the more sinful they seem to appear, the more doubts and fears that come over, and the more they go on, oh, they say, will I ever reach heaven at last? How will I endure? Oh, will I make shipwreck? I sometimes feel like, when we sang it, I can't go on another day. Oh, I can't face another day of this constant warfare, temptation on one hand, a heart that grieves and mourns over sin, yet on the other, an eye that wanders sometimes. Oh, he brought me to the banqueting house. You see, beloved friends, it's God's work. It's the work of the bridegroom. He's done it all for his bride. The marriage supper of the Lamb, it's set in time. Oh, and the bride is being prepared. And this life is a preparation for her. And she's being prepared for it. You know, that the bride is made up of many members. Oh, the church of God, the bride of Christ. And over time, they're being gathered in, one by one. They're being made ready, being prepared. They're being stripped of things. Their pride is being removed. It's been stained. It's been cast to the ground. They're given humility. They're made humble. Oh, there's such a work that's needed. You see the bride of Christ in her unregenerate state. She looks nothing like a bride. And yet, oh, she's got to be found in glory. It's the Lord's will. He will not be robbed. He will not be robbed of his beloved bride. Oh, that love that flows from heaven. The love that flows from that blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a love, beloved friends, that passeth all understanding. He brought me to the banqueting house. Have you ever tasted? Have you ever been brought by faith? One day, the bride of Christ will be brought to that marriage supper. But here below, the Lord in love and mercy, he gives us some sweet foretastes, some sweet tokens along the way. By faith, he brings her, at times, at spots and places, right into the banqueting house. Oh, and he feasts her and feeds her, oh, with all the beauties and dainties of the gospel. And it's the wine of the gospel. And there's meat and drink. And, beloved friends, they taste and handle and they touch. And I say, have you tasted, have you handled? Has the love of Christ ever flooded into your heart? Oh, the love of Christ flowed into your spirit. Have you ever come into the house of God and, oh, the word has suited you, touched your heart? It's like the Lord has brought you right into the banqueting house. And you feel to have sat down, like the writer speaks of here. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Beloved friends, they're just foretastes. Oh, how much deeper, how much greater the feast in heaven. Oh, how much deeper we'll drink, how much deeper we will feast in heaven above. But these foretastes, he brought me to the banqueting house. Brought me. I was unwilling. I was unable to come. I was unfit to come. I was unworthy to come. But he brought me to the banqueting house. I remember friends looking on at the Lord's Supper. We leave at Bethel and we walk out. And I remember month by month getting up and walking out and looking at them and, oh, couldn't ever picture myself worthy. How could I ever be found there? You know, the moment the thought entered, straight away, don't be silly. Not you. You could never sit there. You could never sit there. And you know, friends, sometimes when those of you who have made a profession and have been enabled to come and tell, and as you sit down at the Lord's Supper, and as you seek to remember the Saviour, Satan may say, what are you doing here? Why are you here? What right have you got to be here? You haven't got what others have. You read those old books. Oh, are you sure you should be here? Haven't you presumed? Haven't you come too early? What are you doing here? Oh, friends, may you be able to, in those moments, as Satan, he's coming in like a flood, isn't he? Doubts and fears, even at the table. Oh, to look up, to look up. You know, when these ancient kings and royalty had banquets, well, there was lots of guests, and even, I think, in our day, well, there's such a great pomp and circumstance around, and the guests come in, and there's a flag brought in, especially if they're visiting monarchs, and the flag is set up. Or at the place table, where they sit, their name's written there, and who they are, and there's a there's a flag or an emblem or a symbol of why they're there, why they're permitted to be there. And you know, even our Queen, who has these great banquets, she gives them to all sorts of people, doesn't she? And there's some there that are sitting there, and there's their name card, and oh, they're head of this charity, or they've given this much money, and there's a reason they're there. Oh, beloved friends, none of that is for those invited to this banquet. Oh, they're all there on the same ground. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There isn't anyone there who has bought their way there. They're not there because they've done this for charity or they've given this much money. Well, they may have done great things in their lives, wonderful things, but it's not brought them there. It's the fruit of the work of God in their hearts that they may have done these charitable things. But, beloved friends, every child of God at that marriage supper of the Lamb, they have the same banner over them. There's the same flag that's behind them, that's over them. The same reason that each one of them is there. The banner over me was love. The banner, his banner over me was love. Oh, that is it, friend, isn't it? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Oh, that banner of love. Acceptance at the Father's table, acceptance at the marriage supper of the Lamb, accepted in the Beloved. No other way, no other access. Oh, then, tempted child of God, when Satan says, you're not worthy, just points out all the things you haven't got, all the things in your life where you come short of. Oh, may your eyes go up to heaven. May you see written over you, oh, the banner. It's love. It's love. That's brought me here. Love of an almighty God. Love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His love. His love to me. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for us. He sent his Son. This is the love of God. Not that we first loved him, but that he loved us. Oh, the banner over every child of God is love. Oh, love that flows from Calvary. The love that was from the foundation of the world when that beautiful, perfect plan of salvation was made. And the willingness of the Son. Oh, to willingly be made humbled in this world. To take upon him the form of a servant. To be made like unto his brethren. Oh, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. No reputation. Oh, the love. Beloved friends, how we need to be stripped of a pride in our lives. Oh, that we may be found more like him. And, you know, you who know and fear the Lord, this work is a continuing work, isn't it? The stripping out, the burning off of the rubbish, the trials, the fresh trials, the fresh afflictions, the thorny road, oh, the rod sometimes, the chastisement. But it's all, it's written love over it all. Love over it all. That sick bed, that hospital bed. Oh, beloved friends, have you ever seen love written over a hospital bed? Have you seen love written over a dying bed? Ah, oh, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. He only deals in love with his dear people. And have you seen love over the bed of affliction? Have you seen love written there? I've loved thee well, my child. This is needful for you. You're better with this than without it. This is necessary. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it's cutting. Oh, but how necessary it is to keep thee close to me. Oh, for that close walk we sing. Oh, for the closer walk with God. But are we really no understanding of what we're singing? But you see, love moves. Love is the motive in the Lord's dealings with his children. The rod. Have you seen the rod? It's dipped in love. Have you seen the Father's hand that holds it? And have you fallen under it? Oh, has he corrected you? Have you had to put your mouth in the dust? Oh, like Job, I've heard of thee with the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Oh, and I bore myself. Oh, have you been humbled under the mighty hand of God? Beloved friends, it's love. Love. Oh, it's love that makes him notice. Bother to notice such worms of this earth. Bother to deal with them. Bother to take them out of this life. Oh, and all the sins of it. And put in them a new heart. The fear of God in their hearts. It's love that implants that fear of God in there. And with the fear of God in our hearts, oh, we shall not depart from him all the days of our life. Oh, it's love that sends the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. It's love that convicts us of our sins. It's love that shines that light into our hearts and reveals the sins, the secret sins. Oh, the turmoil it casts up. You know, sometimes you think, oh, if I could just forget having ever gone to that place, if I could just forget that part of my life. Oh, beloved friends, the light, the Holy Spirit shining in, it casts up the filth in there, doesn't it? But oh, it's love that does it. You see, you've got to be made sick of self, fond of him. Oh, you've got to be found looking away from yourself, stripped of any of your own pride, any of your own righteousness, anything that you think you've got good enough. You know, beloved friends, we're so sinful that left to ourselves, we would be like those at that great day who say, Lord, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. You know, left to ourselves, that's exactly where we would be. Now, and the Lord says of those, they'll say, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy name. And well they might, but what will he say to them? Depart from me, I never knew ye. Think of that. Oh, think and tremble. Beloved friends, may we not be left, oh, to be pleading anything we've done. Oh, but we have that sweet persuasion, don't we? that the well-taught people of God, the child of God, in their lives, they've been brought to see nothing in themselves worthy. Oh, and they've fled to Christ for help. Oh, they've been made to see that their best is stained and dyed with sin. And even the very best moments of their lives, there's always some sin mixed with it. And they've looked inside their own hearts. They've looked at their own profession. And they've seen nothing there that meets the law. Nothing there that they can claim. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love shall I receive. Oh, and having received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, having received of the Lord's gracious hand a sweet hope that though she's black and a vile sinner, yet he said, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. As he's raised her up to a sweet hope that he's loved her with an everlasting love. You know, she cannot claim. She dare not claim. And at that great day when, oh, there's an account to be given. Well, she must stand before an almighty God and give an account of the things she's done, both good and bad. What will she say? What can she say? Oh, beloved friends, as she's been brought to in her life, I'll point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Oh, I'll claim the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. I'll look to Jesus. Not what I've done. I'm guilty. Yes, Satan, I've done the lot. All of those sins are mine. But oh, I've been brought to lay them on the Lord Jesus. I've pleaded his merits. I've pleaded pardon. Oh, I've heard there's pardon for sinners. I've heard there's an advocate with the Father. I've heard that there's mercy to be found. And having been convicted of my sins, oh, I have a sweet persuasion that I have obtained the mercy. And I found grace to help in time of need. And this is a time of need. And I've that sweet hope that he came to this world to save sinners. And I'm a sinner. Oh, to be brought to these points. He brought me to the banqueting house. He brought me to his banqueting house. He brought me to the gospel. He brought me as a sinner, wretched and undone. He brought me to Calvary. Oh, he brought me there. You know, friends, what a sweet, sweet place to be brought to. But what a dreadful sight to the eye. Well might the hymn writer say, love and grief, my heart dividing, while upon the Lamb I gaze. You see, it's a sweet place. It is a banqueting house. Oh, it's mercy. It's the putting away of sin. It's life to those who look with faith. It's life to the believer as they look upon a crucified Saviour. But oh, the grief, the grief. Oh, there's love that flows in every wound. His head, his hands, his feet, his side. Love flowing from every wound. And yet, oh, the grief, the grief. Oh, because, dear child of God, and you here tonight, dear friends, we read in the Word of God, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Oh, what a solemn thought, but what a sacred place to come. they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And you and I, in greater or less measure, must come there. You must, friends. If you're to be found in heaven, if your religion is real, and my religion is real, then we must come there. In greater or less measure, we must look on him whom we have pierced. Oh, friends, and our sins. Oh, we must have that assurance, mustn't we? Before we enter that day of our death, that our sins pierced him. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And you know, friends, if your sin and mine has not pierced the Saviour at Calvary, then it will pierce us for an eternity. Think upon these things. You know, friends, the Lord's dear people, they've pierced him. The soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. And, oh, it's a sweet and a solemn and a sacred place. Oh, it's a vital place. It's a vital place for the believer to be brought to. Oh, this is the level we must be brought to, mustn't it? To know our sins were laid on him. Oh, if he has not walked into that garden of Gethsemane for us, then, beloved friends, we'll be walking with the goats to hell. If he has not laid prostrate in that garden under the weight of our sin and the sins of the rest of the Church of God, then we will be found in hell forever and ever. Oh, the solemnness. If we have not made his soul an offering for our sin, if we're not brought to these points, beloved friends, then our soul will be the offering that's made for an ever and ever in eternity. Oh, but to be found at the banqueting house. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh, it was love that moved him. He left heaven. He came to this earth. He made himself of no reputation. He was obedient and we're not. He was faithful and we're faithless. He was sinless and we're sinful. And he lived a life with sinners, but separate from sin. He was made in all points like unto we as we are, yet without sin. Oh, this is the feast. This is the feast for sinners. Feast your eyes on the Saviour by faith. Oh, view him. Well, when you see your own sinful self, all your shortcomings, all your failures, oh, look to Jesus. Oh, may your eyes be unto him. May you be running that race with patience. May you be running it, looking unto Jesus. It's day by day you'll have to look there. Satan will have you looking everywhere else. Oh, for that singleness of eye. But it's feasting our eyes on him. Well, by faith we see his life. Ours is wretched. Ours is strewn with sin and failings and guilt and misery. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, a life lived for his people. The banquet. You see, the entrance in for every child of God into the marriage supper of the Lamb is in his merits. It's his name. That's their entry into it. That's why that they're there. His merits, his name, his finished work, his obedience. Oh, and she's there, not left to sit in her shame with the banner over her love. Oh, not only is the banner woven with love, but so is the robe that he bestows upon her. He clothes her in a glorious robe. She's not to be there second class, not to be ashamed in heaven. Heaven, there's no shame in heaven, friends. Oh, there's every child of God in heaven, and they're there clothed in righteousness. Not their own, the Lord Jesus Christ. That finished work, the threads woven of that garment, he wove it in this life, here below, and he imputes it on every child of God. And they enter the marriage supper. They have on them a wedding garment, not their own. Not their own. That's been stripped long ago. Oh, they're naked. They come to him and he clothes them with that glorious robe and brings them into that banqueting hall. Oh, so not only does he bring them there, he sweetly constrains them. He sweetly compels them. He sometimes, with others, he sweetly forces them. Such is their stubbornness, such is the depth of their sin, yet such is his love that he comes right where they are, and he sweetly forces them, and he makes them love him. Oh, this love, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh, the love of the Saviour. It was love that hung him there. You know, the nails, those cruel nails that fixed him to that tree. But, beloved friends, it was love that held him there. Oh, he could have called upon a 12 legions of angels. He could have been free from his bonds. But it was love. Love held him there. It was love that made him bow his head and give up the ghost. It was love to his beloved bride. Oh, in his mind. Oh, one by one, the bride of Christ, they pass through his mind as he put away her sin, as he dealt with it, all of it, at Gethsemane and at Calvary. Oh, the love that filled his heart, the love that made him choose to die. Oh, it was love. I think of this hymn, friends, 716. So we will sing thy lovely name, for grace so rich and freely given, and tell thy love, and tell our shame, that one we murdered gives us heaven. That's the love and grief, my heart dividing. The cost of sin. We should have bore it, should we not? The cost of it. Oh, the cost. Oh, to look upon the Saviour. To have to flee to him in all need. You can't deal with your sins. Oh, there's such a mountain. But then to come to him. Oh, with such a great mountain. Surely he'll turn me away. Oh, I'm embarrassed by the size of the enormous mountain of sin that surely no sin has come with such a mountain as me. But to whom else can we go? To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, I'm embarrassed by it. I'm ashamed of it. But, oh, dear Lord, I hear there's room. I hear there's mercy. I hear there's a garment that covers the shame of having once been a sinner. I hear this precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, Lord, may that be shed upon me. Oh, may I sweetly solemnly, sacredly be a showcase to thy mercy, thy majesty, thy wondrous ability to save, thy redeeming love. May I be a showcase for the glories of redemption, a sinner saved by grace. O Lord, may I come to thee just as I am, just as I am. For thou hast never turned away a beggar. Thou hast never turned away a soul pleading for mercy. Thou hast never turned away a trembling, helpless, guilty sinner, oh, who calls upon thy name. Lord, may I know that banner over me. May I be given eyes of faith to see it tonight, dear Lord, that I may lift up mine eyes and see love. Love, may I look back at my life. Oh, this web of time that's woven, this life, may I look back and see love in it. Love in it, even in the hard places, especially in the hard things, the disappointments, in the loneliness, in the trials, in the grief, in the sorrow. Oh, to see love, love written over it. See that banner over me as love. Because, friends, with an eye of faith to see love over your life, it will end in heaven. It will end at the banquet, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's none who have been brought to see love of Christ in their hearts and written over their life and not found in heaven. Oh, that straight and narrow way, that pathway that leads to glory. Oh, he leads his children safely on. He's promised to certainly be with them. He said, I'll never leave them nor forsake them. And it will end in glory. Despite their fears, despite their failings, despite Satan's attempts to derail them, oh, it's finished. The Lord said, oh, our Lord and Saviour cried out, it is finished. And the Father sealed it when he raised his beloved Son from the tomb. And we see an empty tomb. We see a risen, exalted Saviour. And he's sitting at the Father's right hand. And he's pleading. And he's prayed on earth for us. And he's pleading in heaven now. Oh, and he's making intercession. And he's gathering in, one by one, the beloved bride of Christ. Oh, may your soul and mine be found amongst them. Oh, may the Holy Spirit come and give us this grace in our hearts, a need, a desire to be found right at last. Oh, he brought me to the banqueting house. Well, may you and I sweetly prove, have a taste here below. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £630, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day we expect Mr. Adrian Pickett, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart. Thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. Hymn 962.
Dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Do take us each home in peace and safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.